Our calendar needs to be in sync with astronomy, with the orbit of our Earth around the sun. However, you would think that God could have been a bit more exact than he was. For our year is 365 days and about a quarter day. Actually, 365.2425 decimal number on and on and on. And so then it's been the practice that every 4 years, a day is added to the calendar, February 29th. But also, for a period of 400 years, if you add a day every fourth year, you'll actually end up with 3 days too many. So then that has been fixed, that to remove three of these leap days in centuries that are not exactly divisible by 400. Got that? So, for example, the year 2000 was a leap year. The year 2400 will be a leap year. But the three that they will remove are the years 2100, 2200, and 2300. So file that away when it happens. I read these types of things because I like to think that I have a thirst for knowledge. I'm interested in that sort of stuff. And because I'm interested in it, I think, well, you must be too, right? Maybe not. Just as well that my thirst for adventure sometimes is not maybe something you would share either. But we also have a thirst that addresses our needs. A thirst that addresses our desires, our cravings, the things that we are eager for. And so then we hear from the prophet Isaiah, who says, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters to satisfy your needs. When the scriptures, such as the words of the prophet Isaiah, refer to waters, it's specifically referring to living waters. And that's an important biblical image, a picture that is being painted for us, used to describe our life. It's used to describe our relationship with God, the difficult experiences that we have, and also our tendency to draw upon our own strength, to think that we control our lives. So we think then of the desert. Of the desert. We are familiar here in Arizona with the desert. I was teasing earlier this morning that some of us are more familiar than others. Because some of you are already talking about leaving and going other places. Because it's so hot here. And it's so much better in North Dakota and Minnesota and Wisconsin. Lightweights, each and every one of you. Someone then chirped in by saying, well, you're just jealous. And then I said, well, I'm just not as old as you. You might remember some time past at the beginning of this year, I thought I wouldn't tease and pick on people. So much for that. It's not as much fun. But we think of places like Engedi. When we think of the desert, when we think of the wilderness. Engedi is an oasis on the western shore of the Dead Sea. It's a place where David went when he escaped the wrath of Saul and sought refuge. Perhaps it's a place like that that Jesus went when He went into the wilderness. Because desert life can be harsh. And these harsh conditions define the basic needs for survival, such as the never-ending need for water, for living water, a flowing water that can refresh and can restore, a source of water that is constant and moving. And it is through this living water we reflect on our daily lives and how we call upon God to provide, our dependence upon God and our need for God. So this picture, this image of living water then is contrasted with water that is found in the cisterns. Cisterns of that day were necessary for the community, were built where they were needed. Often a hole was dug into the ground and then the walls of the cistern were plastered and then it was filled over time with rainwater. But then, often after periods of time, it would lose that water due to leaks and perhaps even run dry. Or as the water sat for long periods of time, it would stagnate. We're familiar with that in Arizona. When you see a house perhaps that hasn't been lived in, it has a swimming pool that is not being tended to, you will see how that water will stagnate as it just sits. In our adventures backpacking through Arizona, we come across tanks or natural cisterns that have been formed in the rocks in the bottom of creek beds and river beds that will hold rainwater for periods of time. But as a consistent resource, this is not dependable. It is not reliable. And the picture of a cistern then is used as a result of when we rely on our own source of strength. The wilderness experiences teach. They teach that God will provide. God doesn't remove the difficulties of the desert experiences, but God strengthens and God gives courage to keep going. I was also curious about the name leap year. It, for a long period of time, didn't make much sense to me. Until discovering that with a leap year such as this one, a holiday such as the 4th of July was on Saturday last year, and now this year will leap over Sunday and be on Monday. Christmas was on a Friday of last year, but now leap over Saturday and be on Sunday. Leap year. I get it. A little twist in it, though, is for those of us who celebrate birthdays in January, as you remember, earlier this year are not affected in 2016. But also that leap day won't come until 2017, where my birthday this year was on a Monday and 2017 will be on a Wednesday. And so it leaps a day during the week, which impacts our calendars. Our calendars that mark our celebrations and that mark our festivals. Our calendars that help us look back at our history of who we are and where we have come from. And think about festivals and celebrations. I refer to the words of Jesus. In John's Gospel, there's an occasion where it says, on the last day of the festival, and we'll get back to that, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, He cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to Me, and let the one who believes in Me drink. as the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. And so we look at the Jewish calendars, the seasons of that calendar, when we refer to the last day of the festival where Jesus is in Jerusalem. There are seven major festivals and feasts in the religious calendar. In the spring, coming up shortly at the end of this month, at the end of March, would be Passover, the celebration of deliverance. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, recognition of the promised land to the people of Israel. And the Feast of the First Fruits of the Harvest. Now these are important to us because they associate with our celebrations of Holy Week and what took place in the life of Jesus and in His crucifixion during these days. It is not by chance that these events took place during these festivals. 50 days later is followed by Shavuot, or what we know as Pentecost. It was the celebration of the grain harvest and of the Torah being given on Mount Sinai. And then finally, in the fall, were the festivals of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Sukkot, or Tabernacles, the one in which Jesus is speaking. Sukkot means booth. For 7 days, people would come to Jerusalem and they would build a temporary dwelling place. They would build this booth and there they would live for the 7 days of the festival. It came at the end of the dry season, and the people gathered together and looking ahead, praying for the rains, in recognition that God, who brought life, would continue to bring life through the rains and provide a life-giving water. And so it was a period of joyful anticipation, looking back at what God had done, but also looking ahead. And is there with that backdrop, on that calendar day, on the great day of the festival, that Jesus stood at the pool at the temple. And there He said, "For those who are thirsty, come to Me and drink. Come to Me and drink." That He is the living water. That He provides life. But it doesn't stop with our relationship with Jesus. For He says, from the heart of people such as yourselves, from your hearts shall flow rivers of living water. From you shall flow the message of life, the words of hope and promise. Jesus emphasizes our relationships with one another, of building up and strengthening and encouraging. And we do so at the power and presence of the Holy Spirit that gives us life. And with that life, we take our own leap of faith.